Hello and welcome to The Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving our betting information, betting strategy, and of course free best bets. Today on the line once again to break down round 12, we'll be joined by Jacob. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. You sound like you've got a little tickle in your throat.
Yeah, I'm fucking sick. I'm getting a little bit sick. Everyone in the office is getting sick and it's fucking getting passed down to me. It's terrible.
Yeah, hopefully our winning best bets last weekend could at least put you in a better mood. Another winning week in the NRL.
We haven't had a losing week for a long, long time, which is very, very difficult when you're handing out 50-50 bets. And we're giving out about, you know, usually 6 to 8 of them every single week in the NRL. And we literally haven't had a losing round for months, I reckon.
Yeah, we gave out 7 NRL best bets last week. We think we won 4 of 7. And we bookended that with a couple of winning NBA tips as well, which is nice. Obviously, big NBA fans. We're looking at doing an NBA pod later in the week, so stay tuned for that. But just for new listeners, welcome to the Tripod. Like, we give out all of our bets are 50-50 bets, and that's the easiest way you can judge us. It's, you know, very easy to just pick all the favourites to win straight up, and that's not what we do. We always pick with the line or the handicap, the spread. They're all interchangeable words for what we're picking with. So in any game, you'll see a handicap of plus or minus points, and we can explain that maybe with the first game. And then we like to look at sometimes totals or team totals, anything where the odds are around $1.90 or higher. And we've been winning, you know, with a significant edge over the bookmakers.
Yeah, that's right. We've been winning at a 62% clip, and we've given out well over 500 best bets now. And just to put that in perspective, there are professional gamblers in this world that bet on sport to make a seriously good living on it. And there's also people that sell picks out there. And generally, the rule is if you can tip on 50-50 line bets, if you can tip correctly about 52.5%, 53%, then you're basically breaking even. And we've been tipping it at 62%, which is certainly making the listeners a lot of money. And that is, people don't understand how difficult that is to do. Obviously, the line makers set the line at a point where they think that the result will fall 50% on one half of the line and 50% of the time on the other half. So what our job is to find inefficiencies in the market, to find places where we think the line is not particularly right. And you're not going to win those bets every single time, but if we can win the 60, 62% clip, then you're certainly making some money.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you said the rule is you got to reach 52.5%. I mean, that's just the simple math behind the fact that we are betting $10. We are betting $11 to win 10 every time, essentially, with that $1.90. Yeah. That's the house edge that we need to overcome. So that 2.5% winning clip above 50% is just to overcome the house edge. And let's be honest, I think most people listening are recreational gamblers. And if we can watch sport, have a punt, have some fun and break even, you know, that's a good result. But what we've done is far beyond that. And as you say, the professional guys out there, the benchmark for them tends to be about the 55% mark. If your stakes are big enough and you're winning consistently enough, you can make a living winning at 55% clip. And 60% is really unprecedented, and we're a free service as well. So there's no reason why it should stop now. We've been consistently doing it for 14 months, and all of our picks come with a bit of handicapping reasoning, which we break down on the pod.
Yeah, and it doesn't come easy as well. You know, we do put a lot of hours into this every week, and I don't know about you, I'm sure you're fairly the same as me, but every morning when I wake up, I basically check all the lines and have a bit of a look through and see if there's any value there, and that's every single morning, and I'm sure you do the exact same thing, because we're corresponding throughout the week in regards to, you know, what plays we're going to have and where there's value. So
I mean, it's like the stock market, mate. We're basically wolves of bloody Wall Street here.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Except we're not dodging taxes.
We do less cocaine.
Yeah, well, that's true as well. Yeah, that's true.
Well, oh yeah, less. Yeah. Do you want to get into the round?
Mate, let's get into the round. So Thursday night's back. We've got the Rabbits hosting the Dragons. The Rabbits are laying 5.5 to 6 points. So for all the new listeners out there, laying means that the favourite is minus points. So laying 5.5 is the same as minus 5.5, and that's the handicap. And the total is 36.5, 37.5.
And speaking of keeping your eye on the markets, I actually saw a bit of a shift towards the Bunnies. Money for the Bunnies come in the last few hours, because there are 6.5s out there as well, which is interesting because that's a very key number. The margin of 6, quite common final score. So the difference between getting a team +5.5 and +6.5 is very significant. Quite often that can be the difference between winning and losing your bet. And with that being the case, I could only look at the Dragons. You know, when it comes to sports betting and the fact that we always release our tips well in advance of the games, I think it's funny. So many people out there, they love to, like, kind of make a narrative or a justification that they knew something was going to happen after the fact. So it's very easy for everyone to say, oh, yeah, I knew English to 5/8 would work well. Oh, yeah, it was obvious. But nobody was out there saying that the Bunnies were going to win last Friday night except for us. We actually said it was a good call. Before the game, the Bunnies were the better side, I thought. I know they needed a try with 2 minutes to go, but they were robbed on some other bunker decisions in that game. And the cover was never really in doubt as well.
We're getting +6.5 points, though.
That's it. And as I say, I'll repeat it again. I really love the move. And, you know, I'll go one step further. I like Inglis in the line, and I like him getting his hands on the ball at 5/8, but I actually think their strongest side would be with him in the centres and Keary full-time 5/8. Keary had a great game off the bench. And it does allow Alex Johnston to run a bit more free at the back. So I've got to respect this Bunnies team. I think they've kind of got a new and improved system. They've got some good players. Burgess was better last week too. But the Dragons aren't terrible. They've got a new lease on life, really, with the Eels being dropped or docked 12 points and then stealing that win against the Raiders last weekend. They now believe they can make the 8. So I guess I have to lean the Dragons with the points in what should be a close and interesting Thursday night matchup, but I'm not sure if I've got a best bet.
Yeah, and obviously two teams that got the wins last week. I mean, the Rabbits, like you said, that I think it's a bit of a confidence-boosting win for them. They're sitting on the fringes of the 8, that comeback win against the Eels. And the Dragons were pretty gutsy against the Raiders, even with that last dying second brain snap from the Raiders that gifted them the victory. But we've said this before, Benji's not the same player he used to be, and he's out this week. I don't think it makes too much of a difference, to be honest with you. I think you're on the right track with the Dragons. They get an extra day of prep. But on top of that, I think I'm leaning towards the over. It's the lowest total of the week. The Dragons game, to be honest with you, we were on the over in that game, and watching that, it should have had 40 more points than it actually did. That game should have been much higher scoring than it was. So I'm leaning Dragons, and I'm leaning over.
Well, I actually like that. I should say as well, yeah, a lot of the times the totals are pretty close to where they should be, and it does often come down to, you know, conversions and things like that, and you do actually have potentially, arguably, the best two goal kickers in the comp facing off as well. So you wouldn't expect many missed points. You would see teams taking the 2 when on offer, and that ticks the total up as well.
Yeah, that's right. And Dragons are historically a sort of grinded out low scoring team, but, you know, lately the back line's been clicking and they've been putting on some points as well. So we'll have to look at that one a little bit closer. Match of the round, grand final rematch and rematch from earlier on this season. The Cows hosting the Broncos up in Townsville. Cowboys laying 1.5 to 2 points I've seen, and 38.5 the total.
Man, this is going to be good. The grand final was unreal. Even the earlier match in the finals last year was very tightly contested. And what an encore it was. I was at Suncorp Stadium in the box with our producer Ev Sanity, and it was just sensational. Of course, the drop goal win by the Broncos in extra time. We picked the Broncos win there, and our reasoning was the revenge factor and the home field advantage does make a difference in the NRL. And look, we had to lay 3.5 points on that occasion, and we actually didn't get the win with the Broncos winning by only 1. Now, I feel like the obvious side we have to take is the Cows. I actually do think that they're a slightly better team. It's just ridiculous. You check the lineups every single week, and the Cows just get to keep returning the same 17 players just about every week. They just are living a charmed life in terms of injuries. They're so hard to beat at 1300 Smiles up in Townsville. They just have to be the favourite every single time they step out. But I will say this, the Broncos return Adam Blair, Alex Glenn, and McCulloch has also been a late inclusion. So they're actually going to be at full strength here, and I was hoping at least two of those guys might still be out. I'm still leaning to the Cows. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I guess it's revenge for both sides, given the grand final last year and obviously earlier on this year. It's really tough to pick a side, and I think you're right, I would lean Cows, but having McCulloch, Blair and Glenn back, I think it might just be just enough to keep me off the side. I don't have too much on this game, to be perfectly honest with you. These huge games, like we've said, are usually lower scoring, and 38.5, I'd probably be leaning towards the under in that one, both full-strength sides, obviously, and two really stout defences. But probably at this stage, I don't really have a best bet.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would probably lean under as well. And I've got to say, like, Bennett has this team so well drilled. They are honestly smarting from the fact that they lost to Cronulla 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, the fact that they were down, whatever it was, 20 points to 6 at halftime. They honestly, he has them embarrassed. And there's really no shame in going and losing to, you know, a top four contender on the road by a final margin of 4 or 6 or whatever it was. But this team just demands perfection. And there's no reason, like, I wouldn't be that shocked if Brisbane could go up there and win. And the other thing is, I think we both agree, it should be really close. And that's the issue with if you take the Cowboys -1.5 or -2 and you find yourself in a tied game, they're not even going to be looking to try and cover that spread.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Should mention it'll be Thurston's 250th game, so the crowd will be absolutely stoked for that. It is sold out there at 1300 Smiles. But yeah, I think at this stage, I'm probably just going to have to stay away. And we might, I think honestly though, the only way you could look is the Cows. You know, I think if the Cows won last week, you know, this line probably would have been 3.5, something like that. And obviously the Broncos smashed last week as well. So, we'll have a bit more of a chat about that one, but we've got to move on to Saturday's games. The Tigers hosting the Knights. Tigers -8.5 points, 46.5 the total.
Yeah, let's not spend as long on this game then, except I love the under. I think both teams missing attacking weapons. Obviously, Tigers without, you know, Tedesco and without Farrah, the Knights without half their roster, although Hodgkinson will come back. I think both sides just going to fight hard for the win, and I don't know where the points are going to come from. I know both sides conceded a ton of points last week, but they were just totally overmatched, both teams. They played against some really red-hot opposition. It's a different story this week.
Yeah, and like you said, two teams that got absolutely taught a lesson last week. I can't lay 8.5 with the Tigers side, to be honest with you, but I can't under any circumstances take this Knights roster that is basically a second-grade team. I know they get Hodgkinson back, which certainly doesn't help with the under, but that's the only way I could look. It's a super, super high total, and I understand that, you know, the Knights have been leaking tries lately, but the Tigers aren't an excellent offensive unit at the moment. So, yeah, I'm certainly leaning under with you. I just can't play a side.
I really do think under's a great bet there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Saturday afternoon, Warriors hosting the Raiders. Warriors are 1.5-point favourites at home, 39.5 the total.
Yeah, another one I'm not really sure what to do with. You know, are the Raiders deflated after giving that one away last week in extra time? They do get a lot of time to recover and prepare for this one. I don't like the loss of Fentham because I think he is a really integral part of the back row for the Raiders. But I've been kind of saying for the last few weeks, this Raiders team's probably sneaky good. Quite a few players that are not household names but are actually big contributors, and I do like some of the outside backs. I think Rapana is a borderline superstar backline player that nobody really knows about yet. But you do have to respect New Zealand at home. You never know what you're going to get. And I know they lost by about 12 points last week, but they did lose to a Penrith side, which I think is vastly underrated as well. So what I'm saying is I think the line is about right for this one.
Yeah, I think the line's probably about right. The Warriors went to poo last week in the second half, couldn't put on a point against the Panthers, and granted they were running against the wind for the second half, but even so, they just looked absolutely dreadful. The Raiders did not look very good last week at all and absolutely gave away that game against the Dragons, but I think Raiders with, you know, 9 days prepare after the Thursday night loss, a lot of time to stew over that loss. I think that's the only way I could lean is the Raiders. Mannering back for the Warriors, but to be honest with you, I think the total is too low. These two teams love to put on points. I think that I don't want to think too hard about this. They're two teams that can leak points and also put on points in runs. The Warriors are higher scoring at home, and the Raiders, we know, can certainly put on points. And I think this line, this total definitely closes over 40, and that's the only way I could look at leaning over.
Yeah, fair call. We can also look at try lines as well, because both sides probably have not the best goal kicking.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And we should probably explain that when we have two really, really good goal kickers, we like to go over the total points because they're most likely going to convert the majority of the tries. And if we've got, if we think it's going to be high scoring, but we don't have very good kickers, we like to take over the try line. So, last game on Saturday, we've got the Sharks. Oh, you want to take a half time break? You want to roll straight into the last four games?
Oh, go on. Do the last Saturday game.
All right, we'll do the last Saturday game. Sharks hosting the Seagulls. Sharks laying 8.5 and 40.5 to 41.5 the total.
Yeah, I feel like this is about right. I'm not going to take Manly plus 8.5 after, you know, they were 14 last week, because I actually don't think that the Sharks right now are 6 points worse than the Broncos. The Sharks team is absolutely rolling right now, full strength, really not injured, no players affected by Origin yet. We might talk about Origin selections coming up. In fact, they've got a lot of guys trying to make an Origin team. I think they're going to win this game. But, you know, Manly aren't terrible either. They've got a good roster, and it's a side that we said from the beginning of the year will improve as we go. So you can make a case for both sides. I don't really have a best bet on it.
Yeah, I kind of think we have to take the Seagulls here. I understand it's, you know, I don't think the Sharks are necessarily in the same class as the Broncos. And look, the Sharks absolutely butt-raped the Knights last week. The Seagulls got raped by the Broncos. But the Seagulls get a few players back. They get Maddie, Starling and Bureau back. I think we don't think too hard about this. Let's take the team off a fucking massive loss against a team that's far too high and a bit overvalued at the moment in the Sharks, although I do think they're a very competent side.
Yeah, you say don't overthink it. And then I sit back and I do think about it, and I don't love this Manly team. And I swear they rob us, like, week in, week out. You just can't necessarily trust them, but I agree. The only side you could probably look, so we can look a little harder at that one.
Perfect. Should we break it up before we jump into Sunday?
Yeah, well, let's just talk about Jarryd Hayne, mate. I mean, crazy news that came out this week that he was retiring from the NFL, which is an interesting way to put it for a guy that played 88 snaps in total.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you begin? First of all, like, what do you make of his NFL career? Was it a success?
Well, in some ways, absolutely, yeah, it was a success. Because, I mean, how many players do you see that have gone from a totally different sport in with no prior experience at all? And to make the roster on an NFL side is extremely difficult. I mean, think about this. He's up against, you know, high school and college players that have played the sport for, you know, basically most of their life. That's all they've played. They've played NFL. They've played gridiron through high school and college, and then they've been picked up by some sort of NFL team. But he's gone in there with zero experience whatsoever and got starts in the games. And sure enough, he didn't do great. But NFL is one of those sports that takes a long time to learn. It's a very stop-start sport. You have to learn the playbook, and I think he only would have gotten better. But what an absolute farce! I mean, he's just chasing dream after dream. And I don't know, is he going to be coming back to the NRL? So I've read that a few sides have sort of got an eye out for him. But, you know, surely I would have thought that he is getting so close to this, you know, this NFL dream. I mean, obviously he played, but didn't really make too much of an impact. I thought he would have stuck it out at least for a year or two more.
Yeah, I agree. I think great achievement. I think it's absolutely unbelievable what he was able to do in a short space of time to make the decision to go over there and try out and start from scratch, literally from scratch, learning the game, learning the playbook. He really achieved a lot more than most people expected. He actually played meaningful snaps, you know, in NFL games. I think that was awesome. What some people may not realize, the NFL draft was on about 3 weeks ago, and his team, which has a new coach now and a bit of a new regime, they did draft a couple of running backs. And you only get, you know, X amount of draft picks, especially high draft picks. So maybe the writing was on the wall for him at that point when he saw that the team was trying to draft new players in a position which he plays. So it could have been as much a case that he knew he was about to get cut. They do obviously start with huge rosters, like 100 players, and work it down to the 50 that they're going to use week to week. And even then, he was only ever on the fringe. So then he probably, if he knew that he was going to get cut, he could have gone back into the wilderness, tried to be on practice squads for other teams. And, you know, yep, if he stuck to it, he could have achieved more in the NFL. But I think it was this Olympic dream. You know, this opportunity wasn't going to come around probably ever again. Rugby Sevens is obviously in the Olympics. Fiji's offered him that. He's half Fijian, and that sounds awesome. But then even that's complicated. I mean, there's a story, maybe you can talk about the story you heard, that he may not even be eligible with the drug testing, you know, regime and restrictions they have. But I read an interview with the Australian Rugby Sevens coach who said that Fiji probably has 30 or 40 athletes already as good as Jarryd Hayne. Whether or not that's true, he is an exceptional athlete. And it's one thing to be a good athlete. It's another thing to be able to translate those skills to playing rugby or rugby league or football, you know, moving, the hand-eye coordination, the reading the game. Yeah. He is exceptional. So I wouldn't necessarily agree with that point. But the other really interesting point he made was, like, he was coaching a Rugby Sevens team and they do so much conditioning. It's very similar to an AFL style of fitness in terms of such a big area of space out on that field for seven players to cover. You're constantly sprinting, constantly running. It's such an aerobic sport. And what has he just come from training for the last, you know, 18 months? A completely stop-start explosive, you know, sport. It's a completely different type of fitness level. How can he really get his body in that shape in 2 months?
Well, that's exactly right, yeah. And, yeah, like you said, NFL is very stop-start. It's a very different kind of fitness. There are no stops in rugby sevens. And you need to be even fitter with that than just in regular rugby, obviously. So it's going to be a tough transition. But for him to quit the NFL, they must have given him the green light that he'll definitely be playing and he'll be in the starting side. Otherwise, there's no way that he would have agreed to that.
They had to cover all the little obligations and things, like make sure his passport was correct so he definitely could represent Fiji. Turns out he's got a Fijian passport. But then the story came out that the NFL drug testing isn't the same as what the ISC requires, and because he hasn't been tested correctly for the last 6 months, he wouldn't be eligible. You hear that one?
Yeah, I did hear that one. But then I also heard that, which would have been an absolute stain to him to find that out after he quit. But then I actually heard that if you're a first-time Olympic participant, then you aren't under the same obligations to be tested 6 months prior to the Olympics. So he might have an out in that way. But all of these things, surely you've checked up on these before you fucking go ahead and make a big life-changing decision like quitting the team.
And obviously the Olympics are in around August, and then what does Hayne do after that? That's a big question as well. And, you know, anything is on the table. You know, European rugby, Japanese rugby, Australian rugby, and then obviously the NRL, which I think is the front runner. And one other interesting, you know, detail here is if he does represent Fiji in the Olympics, he would not be eligible to play for the Wallabies, which actually massively cuts the chances that the ARU can poach him, and they are trying. Because they couldn't kick in any extra money. He would only ever be able to play at club level. I don't think he would play rugby, which means he's probably coming back to the NRL. It's exciting for us. He's 28 years old. He's still in his prime. I heard the Eels might have a bit of cap space. Maybe they can sign him.
Yeah, they might have a bit of cap space left for him. I also heard that one of his dreams was to play for the Sydney Swans. So he might be going to the AFL. That's another dream. No, I'm just kidding. We should get back into the game Sunday. Panthers hosting the Titans. Panthers laying 10.5 points at home, 41.5 total.
Man, how about those Titans? They just turn up and they just ball up every single week. As we said last week, it was a good spot for the Titans, but we didn't want to take them because this Roosters team is almost playing playoff style, you know, finals intensity football every week now to make the eight. And it looked like it was going to go the Roosters' way. Young Latrell Mitchell was running free, and they had the early lead. Right. Yeah, he's a star of the future for sure. But the Titans never give up. Yeah, it's scary. They call him Mini GI. But look, this Titans team just never gives up. They turn up for each other. They fight hard in front of a crowd of about 8 people. And they come back and win the game by about 20 points. But I still am of the belief that they're overachieving with the talent that they do have. And I do think Penrith wins this game pretty solidly. And if the line was under 10, I would lay the points with the Panthers.
Yeah, and we have said that we do love the Panthers, but I'm probably not going to have a best bet on this game. But if anything, I'd have to probably lean the other way. Obviously, Panthers took care of business over in Wellington over the weekend. But I think with these shitty teams, that can, rather than being a letdown spot after the win against the Roosters, I think it's a bit more of a confidence boosting win for them. I mean, they've been on what, a 5-6 game losing streak. We do talk about these when you have a long losing streak and you happen to get a win up on the board, you often sort of turn up, it's a confidence boost to the team and you really put in a good effort the week after. So I think I'm expecting a good effort from the Titans. They say Pete will be coming off the bench. That probably will give them a bit of a spark. And I do, and we do love the Panthers, but I can only lean towards the Titans getting 10.5, but it's probably not a best bet at this stage.
Yeah, probably a good one to throw in your multis. And I would just say as well, people don't need to hear me say how good I think Penrith are, because I've said it literally every single week. But did you know Penrith have only led at halftime twice all year out of 10 games? I feel like this Penrith side knows well and good. They haven't really put together a complete 80-minute performance yet all season. And they're going to blow somebody out pretty soon, I'm predicting. And it could be this week.
Well, the issue is as well, they haven't really had a full-strength roster for most of the year as well, so... I'm probably just going to stay away from the side. I think Penrith wins the game, but I'm not laying 10.5. Bulldogs hosting the Roosters. Bulldogs laying 5.5 points and the total sitting around 40.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this game. I would say, and if you go back a couple of weeks to our mid-season rep round review, we spoke about all 16 teams and which sides we're looking to bet on, which ones we're looking to bet against. And the Bulldogs and the Roosters are both sides I want to bet on. I think the Bulldogs showed why on Sunday, that they can really be ruthless, and that was without Will Hofuadi as well. But I think people might dismiss that really good performance on Sunday and say, oh, it was only against the Tigers. The truth is, this Bulldogs team is the real deal. As for the Roosters, still without Kenny Dowell, it does make a difference. He really is a star in the back line. But it's just still such a very strong team. Maybe Mitchell Pearce's last possible chance to put his name forward for Origin. Not sure if that's even what he wants. But certainly after losing on Monday night, I think this team comes out absolutely desperate. So don't really want to bet against either of them.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way as well. I think I need 6.5 to play the Roosters, but I don't think it gets there, to be honest with you. Look, the Doggies crushed the Tigers last week, but that was a terrible, terrible performance from the Tigers. But like you said, this Bulldogs team is the real deal. The Roosters will be smarting after that loss. Obviously, a bit of a shorter turnaround for the Roosters. But what I see in this game is I see a tight arm wrestle sort of game. I see the forwards sort of just rucking it up, getting good meters, but I think this is certainly one of those games where a lot's on the line. The Bulldogs are on the fringe of the four. The Roosters are fighting to get back into the top eight. A lot on the line. And I see a tight, low-scoring game. But I need 6.5 for the Roosters, and I'd certainly lean towards that under around the 40, maybe 40.5 if we can jag it. Monday night, we got to the Eels hosting the Storm. The Eels are plus 1.5 to 2 points, and the total 37.5.
I'll just agree with you on the previous game, Doggies, Roosters, yeah, under does seem to be the way to go on that one. Bit of inside information, guys. Who did I bump into at the shops out at, I'll give it away, Toowong in Brisbane, for those familiar with Brisbane. None other
Breaking
than
Kieran news! Foran.
Yeah, this is a world exclusive. Kieran Foran sighted in Brisbane on Sunday. What he was doing, I wasn't sure. He was on the phone. I had pod issues to attend to, so I didn't get to catch up with Kieran. But that is funny. Not sure what he was doing in Brisbane. I do know Manly were playing in Brisbane the day before, but I don't want to start any speculation. The only reason I bring up Kieran Foran is because there are some whispers he may play. He has not been named, but with a Monday night game, you wouldn't mind taking the Eels early in the week and then finding out Foran's back, because that will give them a lift, and that is going to, you know, potentially push the line an extra point and a half further out. I do think we need to take the Eels here. I think, look, I'll tell you a secret as well. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
The Eels are not making the finals. And I said this a week ago. They needed to win 12 out of 15. Yeah, it sounds romantic. Yeah, it sounds doable. It's not in this competition. The Bunnies aren't even one of the best kind of top five sides in the comp. And the Bunnies were better than them on Friday night. It's just too close to the competition. They're not winning 12 out of 15. They're not going to win 12 out of 14. But they don't know that for sure. They're definitely going to treat this like do or die. So I think you get the Eels' absolute best performance. I think the side, yeah, leaves it all on the field. I think I'm glad that Bo Scott didn't get suspended for tripping. So we've got a pretty strong Eels side. As we say, we might get a late inclusion of four. And compare that to the Storm. I don't know what to make of the Storm. I have to admit they've overperformed my expectations. But I think I heard Ben Hampton's out as well. That's another backline injury on top of previous blokes like Will Chambers and obviously Slater. They just can't keep this up, the Storm, and I don't think they'll win this one.
This is my play of the round on the Eels. I'm totally with you. I bet this myself heavy this week. Obviously, last week, the Eels, look, I understand that they are probably mathematically out of the equation, and we did know that when they had to win 12 out of 15. But until they're totally out of the eight conversation, I think they're going to absolutely go balls to the wall until then. We've got an Eels team coming off a loss where they should have won. We've got a Storm team coming off a win against the Cows, and I watched that game. The letdown spot for the Storm after beating the reigning premiers. And also, that was just a game where the Cowboys shat the bed. I watched it. They just had nothing going. Thurston didn't play too well. So letdown spot for the Storm. We got the Storm with one less day to prepare. We got, obviously, Storm off a win, Eels off a loss. We got the look-ahead line for this was Eels -3.5. And when I say the look-ahead line, the line before, last week's games, was the Eels -3.5. Now, what's changed since then? Roster-wise, nothing, except for the fact that Foran might be coming in. But what has changed is the Eels had a loss and the Storm had a win over the Cowboys. So I could have got Eels -3.5 last week. Now I can get them +2. I'm definitely taking the Eels here.
Are you sure about that? Last I saw, Eels were $1.80. Are you sure it's +2 or -2?
Pardon me?
You just said Eels +2.
Yeah, I grabbed +2 last night. So this is the line. I wrote all my notes last night, so I don't know if things have changed since then. I've been flat out at work today. But I grabbed Eels +2 at $1.87 last night, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, fair
maybe,
enough.
Maybe sharps have fucking come.
Maybe let me ask you this. When you say you bet it heavy, how heavy are we talking? Are we talking you heavy?
Can't say. Now that would be $105.
Yeah,
it's not that heavy,
more,
bro.
Over under 105. Yeah, I'm still seeing the Eels $1.80 straight up win, and that's what I saw all week. So you've got an absolutely incredible line there at +2.
They were $1.65 before the week started. I saw that, and then I grabbed +2 last night. But anyway,
I hope you didn't accidentally grab Storm +2. But I'm with you. I think anywhere around that pick 'em margin, the Eels are going to win this game.
I can still see +1.5, though.
Right.
+3.5,
okay.
So we're
we'll definitely. And maybe that is, we'll have to check whether the news at Foran will be back or what the situation may be. You can often find flip favourites sometimes in games, so you definitely want to be on the right side of that in terms of taking the points. And, yeah, I agree. I think it's a no-brainer. I like to play.
Let's do it. All right, perfect. That'll round out the round. Obviously, we had the 1K kickoff a few days ago on Sunday. And for all of you that entered, obviously, thanks very much for all the support. And once again, it just showed that, I guess, preparation beat arrogance on the day.
I would say that both players were vindicated for being confident that they would win, because I think people will be pleasantly surprised with the level of goal kicking. I mean, you've pretty much given away the result, but it's definitely worth watching. The video is on our Facebook page. So check it out and
it's
see.
A good watch.
Yeah, it was a good competition, all in all, and I think that was a good bet.
Let me tell you something. The level of kicking was so high, and I think we surprised ourselves with the level of kicking that we actually had on the day. And I don't know about you, but that was probably the best I've kicked in a little while. But the guys at the guys at work were saying, oh, you definitely stitched that together, you know, to make it seem like you kicked better than you did. And we actually didn't. Those were the kicks in order. There was nothing that we cut out, no kicks that we cut out. And that was a very, very high quality. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if you watch the video on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and in fact, there was a bigger crowd there watching us than what watched the Titans game on Monday. So you can ask anyone that was there. It actually was. It was the true results of the kicks. And, yeah, won't say any more. Judge it for yourself.
Yep, excellent.
As everyone knows, we've been killing the NBA. We just keep winning. We won't talk about it here, but if you do like NBA, we're going to do a really quick NBA pod on Friday, which I think will be just after game two of the Raptors Cavs. Game one is happening right now, so we'll have a really good sense of the finals. We're probably going to have best bets between now and then as well. Anyone that likes horse racing, it's the Winter Carnival in Brisbane. We've got three stooges, guys that we know who we cannot necessarily endorse the picks and say they're going to win at the same clip that the pod does. But they do work hard and they give their picks and they're happy to discuss it. And if you follow the racing, it's definitely a bit of fun to follow their post, which is up every Saturday morning or Saturday close to midday for the rest of the carnival. If you look
Let me just say that for horse racing bettors out there, if you do bet sports and you do bet racing and you're looking at putting a few dollars down, just don't put a max bet on the horses. Maybe just put a beer money bet on the ponies. Because the bookies do rape you. But, you know, again, they are a little bit of fun. So just a little bit of money on the horse.
You like that word today. I don't know if we should be saying that too much on the pod. But I'll just add to that and say, if you are going to bet horse racing, look for the promotions. Because as you say, like, it's not a fair fight. The bookmakers really do take a bigger advantage in racing. But you can get some back with some lovely promotions, like money back
Definitely. For
running a place, things like that. Check that out.
Yeah.
Anyone who's listening to this pod, we've got many platforms you could be listening on. We've obviously got our own website, which the pod plays directly off the website. We recommend iTunes, Pod Center for anyone that's got an iPhone. We've got some exciting new news for those Android listeners out there. We're actually now on Stitcher. So Stitcher's like an up-and-coming podcasting app, radio, you know, platform that's big in the States.
Yep.
I don't know how big it is here. But what
completely
we've
free.
Done our research, yeah, completely free, and it's a great way for Android listeners to access podcasts. And just that extra advantage that you get, it'll allow you to subscribe. It'll automatically download when the pod's out. You can do things like download it while you're in Wi-Fi so you can listen later. And obviously you can do other things, whereas with our website, I suppose, you've kind of got to play it directly off the media player that's on our website, which, you know, may use some of your data. I'm not sure of all the exact technicalities, but we're just given more options and being more user-friendly for the fans.
Definitely. So a lot of ways you can listen to the pod. So that'll about do it for this week, guys. So.
Certainly will. As always, please
gamble
responsibly.